说了。
I have some friends who are not as ethically elegant as Rabbi Frankenthal, and he was driving once with his wife, can you imagine? And his wife would criticize his driving, go slower, watch out, look this, look that. So one time it kind of spooked him a little, and he was like, if the intersection, the light was turning yellow, and he tried to race through it, but it was a fast light, and all of a sudden he has a siren and the police comes down because he went through on part of the red, and the policeman gets out of his car, said, "Mister, do you see the light was red?" His wife is next to him, and she starts saying, "I told you, didn't you see? I told you the light was red, you were going too fast. And officer, give it to him. Yep, I tried to tell him to drive slower." Policeman took a step back. He said, "Mister, I'm going to let you off this time. If I had to drive with that, I would never be able to do it." So my friend is smart. He then said, "Honey, could you do that the next time this happens?" Let me tell you about when I drove a taxi. I was in graduate school, FERCAF graduate school, Yeshiva University. And to make ends meet one year, I drove a taxi, a New York yellow taxi.
Washington.
We're yellow. We go anywhere. Washington Heights, East Village, Needle Park, yeah. I was in the East Village. Now, I don't know if anybody here know the East Village? It's spooky, man, right. Right, so like a neighborhood like that, I would pretty typically close up the doors and get back to places that are more comfortable, the West Village, Midtown, what have you. So in the East Village, I close the door. And the power of projection is so amazing. I saw a woman at the corner flagging down a taxi. So what do? I project and I say, "Oh, this poor woman is caught in the East Village. It's a kind of druggy crime area, all kinds of flaky types. She must want to just get back to a safe neighborhood." So I open the door, and she gets in the back. I said, "Where would you like to go?" And she said, "West 4th Street."
That's the East Village.
That's the East Village. The queen in total drag. Those people who on this don't know what a queen in drag is. Yeah. One day I went to graduate school. So in New York on Fifth Avenue, there's special parking spaces for taxis, which is a bracha, so to speak. Lahavdil from brachas, real bracha. So I pulled into this parking space that was very near my graduate school in 5th Avenue and 12th Street or so. And I went and took my course. No one of my student friends, my classmates, knew that I drove a cab. So after about 2 hours, which ended at the prime time for people hustle bustling around the cities, I got down, jumped into the taxi, and started to drive off. And I hear two of the students from out of my window say, "Hey, Siegel just took the taxi. He just got in the cab and took the taxi." This week's parsha is the most amazing parsha. Look in Rashi on the first psukim. On the first word, behalotcha et anirot. What did it mean, behalotcha? To to raise up. Well, why? The Torah didn't know b'hadlikatcha. There's a word hadlaka in Torah. We know l'hadlik ner shel Shabbat, l'hadlik ner shel Chanukah, to raise up. So Rashi learns a lot of conclusions. One that especially fascinates me is that the Kohen had to be very deliberate in lighting the candles. You ever go lighting Chanukah candles, you light from one to the next, and then by the time you get to the third, maybe the first didn't take well, and it sputters, and maybe goes out, and you have to go back. The Kohen had to wait. Ad shetehe hashalhevet ola me'atzma, until the flame went up by itself. Think for a second of the symbolism, the richness of this light, without going too far, is illumination. Light is knowledge. The Kohen symbolically represents anyone who has what to teach, to share, to lead, whether it be in a Hasidic view, a tzaddik, or a teacher, a Rosh Hashiva, or someone who knows something that he can share, like you and me. And so you give light. You light someone. You turn on someone's neshama, and a neshama is a candle. Ner Hashem nishmat adam. Ki ner mitzvah v'torah or. Candle is light. A candle is a neshama. So you raise up somebody by giving him a little light. But think of the educational conclusion. I could teach someone and have them continue to be dependent on me forever. Teach them fact after fact, but they don't know how to learn for themselves. That's not what we try to do here at Machon. And a place where there's some subtlety. The Rebbe I remember best in my yeshiva days was a man that's less known, Rav Yerucham Gorelick. You know why? I learned more from several other people, but he showed us how he went through his learning process, and he brought us through with him. Until the flame goes up by itself. There are many mitzvot of giving, chesed, gemilut chesedim, ben adam l'chavero. And one of the biggest chassidim is to give someone knowledge. To give tzedakah, of course. To give knowledge. And in all of these acts of giving, you know what the source is? The source is a pasuk in Dvarim that says, V'halachta bidrachav, you go in God's ways. Now that's a little bit of a tough thing to understand. Go in God's ways. What does it mean, go in God's ways? God is a man of war. I should be a man. No. There's an element of the way Hashem does chesed. Hashem does chesed in response and always considerate of the needs of the recipient. How do you give tzedakah? What's the highest level of tzedakah to the Rambam? Until the person is set up on his own and doesn't need. I could give a person a meal every Shabbos and he needs to come back to me every Shabbos. Or I could give him a job so that he doesn't need my hand out and doesn't feel dependent. That's the God way of giving. That's the God way of teaching. Yeah?
Give a man a fish, feed him for a day. Teach him how to fish, feed him for a life.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. I was almost thinking to say that, but I'm from New York, so I don't fish much.
Not Easter, right?
Yeah. So that's one little thing that Rashi learns from the Parsha. So light the candles till they're independent. Another thing Rashi learns from the Parsha says, why is it the halacha? Because there was a step, there was a ma'ala that the Kohen stood on as he amad umetiv. He would stand and improve the candle. He would stand, adjust the wick, fill oil, and adjust and improve the candle. Omeid umeitiv. Right, so that's nice. There's a step there. That's nice. Baba Vareva says, Zecher Tzadok Kodesh L'Vracha L'Chaim Abba. Baba Vareva says, you know, it's symbolic also. What's the step? And why does Rashi choose this language that he stood and improved? And he then draws a distinction that we see in some of the literature between an angel and a Jew. In the literature, an angel is a stander. Stander. Why? He has no free will. He does what he has to do. Baruch Hashem, for good. But similar, Lahavdil, to an animal who has no free will and he does what his instinct does. One has no yetzer this way, one has no yetzer that way. You don't condemn an animal for following his instinct. You don't compliment an angel for doing a good thing. It's what they're programmed for. So, since he gets no reward and punishment, he doesn't advance. He's a stander. Malachei Elokim Omdim. But a Jew is a Holech. In fact, there's no image better than the Mizbeach. How did you go off to the Mizbeach? By a ramp, not by steps. Why? You've been on ramps and you've been on steps. Just very simply, physically. A ramp is easier to walk up. A step means you have more exertion for each step. But the step has advantage too. The step, it's easier to rest, because if you try to rest on an incline, your ankle is at a severe bend. So what's the message? You don't go up on steps, because though the step is easier to rest, it's harder to go up, and we don't want it to be easy to rest. We want it to be easy to go up, because we want you to keep moving. So this is what the Baba Vareva starts saying. There's a stander, someone stationary, and there's a mover. A Jew, when he does something, he could have done something bad. He does something good, or God forbid the opposite. He could have chosen something good. He does something bad. Oy, lana. So the Jew can go up. Of course, there's a risk, though. The Jew can go down. So there's a pro and con of each. In standing, you don't risk falling back, but you don't progress. So the Baba Vareva says, you know, I'm glad we are holchim, but I wish I could plug the gap of the risk and hedge my bet that I don't fall back. I want the advantage of the stander and the walker. The advantage of the Malach and the Ish Yisraeli. The angel doesn't progress, but he never loses ground. The Jew can progress, but he can fall back. How do you get that? And the Baba Vareva notices a mission in Pirkei Avos that says there is a special trick to it. A technique, if you do. And you're doing your mitzvot. If you have one special eye out to being mizakeh et harabim, having the community's benefit at heart, what does it say? Kol mizakeh et harabim, ein chet ba liyado. He's not as given to sin. And of course, you can understand psychologically the implication that if you are in fact so involved in mitzvot, not only for your own sake, that you really want to try to help people as well, then you're not going to find it comfortable in your value system to do sin. And so, that's the trick. If you want to go forward, you have the ability to do mitzvah. And you want to keep yourself from falling backwards, then you can make sure that you always have in mind benefiting others. Doing for Hashem and for yourself and for others and for the community, the welfare of the community, and you don't come to sin. So you've thus successfully gotten the best part of both. You've hedged your bets. You go forward, you don't fall backwards, says the Baba Vareva. And that's what Rashi is saying. What is Rashi saying? There was a ma'ala. This is a shot. This is a nice twist. amala, an advantage. There was an advantage of raising up, one up on, an advantage on which the Kohen was able to holeich umeitiv, and he chooses his words so carefully, the Kohen could holeich, go forward like an Ish Yisraeli, I'm sorry, omeid, forgive me, omeid umeitiv. He would be stable like the Malach, because sin doesn't cling to him, so he doesn't fall back, umeitiv, and yet improve. So that's my blessing, and that's part of the message in the Halosha. May it raise you up, may you see the light. May you share the light, may you share the light in a way that it makes others independent to bring the light further. In a way that you only go forward, only forward, only forward. Last week, one of my closest friends died, Rabbi David Zeller of Efrat, one of the co-founders with me of the Happy Minyan of Efrat. Today, the family got up from Shiva. It's very, very painful. But I want you to have in mind, with everything we do, the neshama should have an aliyah. I'm going to sing a tune with you that he sang. Because I need to hear his tunes. I need it a lot. Because I can't believe yet that I'm going to go to shul and he's not going to daven Kabbalah Shabbos. I have a lot of work. Good Shabbos, good Shabbos. Good Shabbos, good Shabbos, good Shabbos. Good Shabbos, good Shabbos, good Shabbos, good Shabbos. Hi, good Shabbos, good Shabbos, good Shabbos. Good Shabbos, good Shabbos. Good Shabbos, good Shabbos. Hi, good Shabbos, good Shabbos, good Shabbos. Good Shabbos. Mizmah, Mizmah, Shem. I shall be on my Shabbos. I share the Shabbos. I miss my share. I share the Shabbos. I miss my share. I share the Shabbos. The whole world is waiting to sing a song of Shabbos. The whole world is waiting. Sing a song of Shabbos. And I am all.